You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead at two Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gary Capewell, John Babb and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Catterick, Chepstow and Yarmouth on Tuesday afternoon. We've also got a twilight meeting from Carlisle and unfortunately no racing at Listowel now. The card has been abandoned for another day, but still plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Very well, thank you, Mark. How are you?
Yes, very good, thank you. As usual, at the start of the week, we're going to look back at some of the big stuff from the weekend.
Yeah.
We're going to use the questions in the Racing Post Monday jaw. And it's, before we get stuck into it, it's quite a weekend to look back
at. There's so much, Mark, to be honest. And having, you know, been lucky enough to be in Ireland on the Saturday at Leopardstown, you know, I've been spent Sunday trying to catch up with what happened at Doncaster. And then, obviously, there was stuff to catch up on from Longchamp and the Curragh as well. So, very busy weekend. Some great racing, great performances over the last 3 or 4 days across, you know, Northern Europe, shall we say, to cover all three countries. And, yeah, really enjoyed it.
Was fantastic. So, what we'll do is we'll do that and then we'll get stuck into Tuesday's racing.
Okay.
First question. What did you make of the two big stewards' decisions on Saturday? There was obviously an amended result in the St. Ledger and the Champion Stakes had a stewards' inquiry over the controversial coming across of Golden Horn across for Eagle. Mm. Do you think the decisions were both all right?
Well, it's not so much the decision. We'll start with Doncaster first and Bondi Beach. It's not so much the decision on that day and that performance, but the lack of consistency in the decision making, I think, when it comes to stewards' inquiries. Arguably, I thought Bondi Beach was badly hampered, more badly hampered, if that makes sense, at York by Storm the Stars.
Yep.
And should, for me, that was a black and white case. He should have been given the race in the stewards' room at York. Then Saturday, a bit more of a grey area. He obviously did get bumped. There was interference. But I mean, he wasn't totally innocent, Bondi Beach. He did lean across a little bit, although he didn't bump Simple Verse in the closing stages. And it wouldn't be a great surprise to me if, when they appeal, which could be before the end of this week, the hearing, if they get it back with Simple Verse. I do think, despite the interference, that Bondi Beach had enough opportunity to go past her. And, you know, looking at other decisions that are made in the stewards' room, it was not consistent with other outcomes. So it wouldn't be a great surprise if she got it back. And in terms of the winner, although I backed Bondi Beach, I was, you know, not disappointed with the amended result. She would have won, I think, if they'd have gone for another half furlong, personally.
Yeah.
In terms of Leopardstown, what muddies the waters with there was Found finishing second. If Found hadn't finished second, then I think they would have taken down Golden Horn. But obviously the rules are different in Britain and Ireland to what they are in France, in America. In France and America, if you hamper a horse, you get placed behind that horse. So it would have been that Fan was the winner, but she was never going to win. It was going to be a Golden Horn Free Eagle victory. And I think if she hadn't have managed to get past Free Eagle after he had the stuffing knocked out of him a furlong from home, then Golden Horn would have been taken down. At the same time, with a clear run, I'm still not convinced Free Eagle would have gone past Golden Horn, personally. He was running a great race, and he stopped very quickly after the interference, which is understandable. But Golden Horn, although, you know, he did jink violently and checked his own momentum, let alone Free Eagle's, but he still going strongly at the line, which is a trait of his, as we know. So I think I'm not convinced Free Eagle would have gone past Golden Horn.
It's hard to say, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's just my reading of it. I'm not saying he wouldn't have done, but I'm not convinced. I don't think he was staying on well for Eagle, but I'm not sure he was staying on at the rate of knots that would have seen him get past Golden Horn. But obviously, it's a debatable point. Yeah. Regardless of that
we'll
never know. Regardless of that fact, if Fan wasn't second, Golden Horn should have been disqualified, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, because he does start to run on again at the end. There's plenty of running left in him.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If it was just a truly run race, a straight head-to-head, it would have been very interesting to see how he came out on top as well.
Indeed.
We've been robbed of it.
We have. I mean, it was still a great race, but it could have been better.
Could have been better, yeah.
And it was great to be at Leopardstown as well for it. A great day of racing at Leopardstown. I mean, I'd only been to Leopardstown once before a few years ago, you know, don't remember it particularly well. But this weekend, I think I really will remember it. It was a great day. Yeah. Racing was quality. The race course was great. And just nice to be there.
The whole idea of the Champions Weekend in Ireland, I think, works very well. The Leopardstown on the Saturday, you buy your ticket and you get one for the Curragh on the Sunday.
Yeah, €30 for entry.
Fantastic.
To both days.
Fantastic.
And then, you know, you see Doncaster and York and their two big meetings, and it's between £50 and £60
for one day.
For one day, where you can get to two of the best days racing in Europe for 25 quid, basically.
Yeah.
And they only have one enclosure. There's no, you know, Premier Silvering and all that sort of stuff course, and you can do this, but you can't do that, and you can't go here. It's all one enclosure, and everyone had a great time. I mean, the noise from the crowd when they turned in the Irish Champion and there were three across the track was deafening. It was a great race.
It was great. Great stuff. Could we have seen a 2016 Classic winner at Doncaster or the Curragh?
Yes. Air Force Blue was very impressive in the National Stakes yesterday. Obviously quick and well. Joseph wasn't overly hard on him. Obviously, a couple of the people in the Racing Post refer to the fact that Joseph O'Brien said, you know, this could be the best horse I've ridden. But, you know, he's been schooled, obviously, by a leading trainer who has used that line an above average amount, shall we say, in recent years. So I kind of don't really buy into that sort of stuff anymore, personally. Not that I'm saying he's not telling the truth. He could be the best horse, but I just sort of take what I see with my own eyes as opposed to listening to the views sometimes, I think. But I was more impressed by Emotionless at Doncaster.
Yep.
Because he was still green, still looking around. Got a tremendous stride. He's a big, rangy horse. I was lucky I was at Newmarket when he won first time out. And he was well touted, shall we say, going into that. And a lot of the Godolphin and Dali hierarchy were there, shall we say, for his performance. And obviously, he really built on that at Doncaster. I was really impressed with Emotionless. I thought he was fantastic. And I think out of the two, if I was going to, you know, pick one for next year, I'd go with Emotionless. I think he's got the size and the scope and still obviously the rawness to continue progressing. And, you know, based on his performance at Doncaster, not that far behind Air Force Blue at this stage. So if we're lucky to see them both at Newmarket in the Dewhurst, then that'll be quite a race. I'll side with Emotionless.
Air Force Blue 4-1 at the top of the market for the Guineas. Emotionless 6-1. The winner of the Dewhurst, if it's either of those two, will
be again. Winter favourite for the Guineas.
That's the one, yeah.
So
I was impressed with Emotionless.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah. The foray beckons, but could Limato be a QE2 or Breeders' Cup mile possible?
QE2, no, because it'll be soft at Ascot, unless we have a very dry October. And even then, it'd have to be dry for a couple of weeks, I think, to be decent ground at that time of year at Ascot. So, no, I'd QE2, no. Foray, if there's decent ground at Leopardstown, then yes. For me, his was the most impressive performance of the entire, not only 4 days at Doncaster, but the two in Ireland as well, and at Leopardstown. The way he, having got checked, showed a tremendous burst of speed to hit the front, and then lengths and clear. And when he was in full flight and he was striding out, it was quite a sight, I thought, to be honest. And so, yeah, with a bit of decent ground, or maybe just on the easy side slightly, not too wet, obviously, then the 4A, I think, will be his for the taking. And Roger Vary makes a very good point in the paper in the fact that, you know, American mile, quick ground, tight turns, an easy mile. I mean, he wasn't stopping at the end of Doncaster, so it could be a logical step if he wins well at Longchamp. Because it will be, it will be decent ground. It's at Keeneland this year, and that is not in California, which is where, obviously, we're used to it being now because it's been at Santa Anita for so long.
Yep.
And there's a chance there, you know, their autumn's a bit like ours, that there might be a little bit of cut, but I still then doubt it'll be as soft as Ascot for the QE2, for example. But yeah, I'd be very surprised if he doesn't win a Group 1 at some point.
Yeah.
The foray off the back of Doncaster is the obvious target, 7 furlongs.
Yeah, I mean, they were worried about the ground for this weekend, and well, it didn't seem to cause him any problems at all.
They've used the ground as a reason A to not run him, or B as an excuse for defeat previously, but you know, he wasn't rattling quick at Doncaster on Saturday, and it was his best performance so far.
Yeah, very impressive. Who's your idea of the arc winner in the wake of Trialsdale Longshore?
Well, Trev was great to see. You know, she really did go away very nicely. Good performance from her, and obviously Cricket Heads. I mean, I know she's won two arcs with her already, but she really has worked her out now. She's still like so ungainly though, and unnatural, I think, when she's sort of running, her head's cocked to one side, and she's got a very scrappy action. But obviously she's quick. And knowing that she's been there twice and done it, and that Cricket Head can condition her to peak at Longshaw, it's hard to try and argue a case for one or two of the others, but she can't reign forever. New Bay, I thought, was quite impressive in the Niel, and Andre Farb, I think, would have brought him there to only be about 80% or so to leave something to work on, and he's a master of training arc winners, full stop. I thought I was quite impressed with Jack Hobbs when he won at Kempton, conceding weight as a three-year-old to some of the others. I think it's going to be an outstanding race, but hand on heart, I think Trev will win again. It's not very original, but you look through the others. I mean, New Bay, I've mentioned, he's the danger for me. Golden Horn, he might not even run. Jack Hobbs, he's improving all the time, but I think next year will be the year when Jack Hobbs really comes into his very own. And then you get into Found, Free Eagle and Postponed, and I don't think they're good enough. So at the moment, it's Trev versus New Bay, and well, the old saying is she's been there and got the t-shirt.
Trev is 4-5 at the top of the betting for the arc. New Bay is 4-1, 7-1 for Goldenhorn and Jack Hobbs, 12-1 for Found, 14's Free Eagle, 16's Postponed, and 20's or bigger for the others. That's how it stands at the moment. Who else caught your eye amid all of the good racing over the past few days?
We're also going to mention the Irish Ledger.
Yes.
In Order of St. George. That was visually a very impressive performance, and I have no doubt that we'll probably see him. I could either see him at Ascot on Champions Day in the 2-miler, or obviously there's the French St. Ledger as well, which is a Group 1 contest, which in terms of breeding and stuff, obviously Group 1s outweigh Group 2s, which is the idea. So that wouldn't be a great surprise. And maybe even Ascot Gold Cup material for next year. And we had the other Group 1, the Moyglare Stud Stakes, where Minding caused a bit of an upset in beating Ballydoyle in a 1-2-3 for Aidan O'Brien. I mean, he won all three Group 1s at the Curragh on Sunday as well. In the long term, I think Ballydoyle will still turn out to be the better of the two, especially with a little bit more of a trip as well in time. But I mean, 1-2-3 for Aidan O'Brien, 1-2-3 for Colmore, 1-2-3 for Galileo as well, which is quite phenomenal, to be honest. I mean, and there was so much good racing, it's hard to sort of take it all in and work it all out. I think we saw a very nice Godolphin newcomer win at Leopardstown on Saturday in the first race as well, for Mick Halford and Shane Foley. First time out and out of an Australian Group 1 winner, beat Coolmore, obviously was very highly touted by the Coolmore team. So it'd be interesting to see how he can improve for that as well.
A number.
Yeah, so much. It was trying to take it all in. It was so good. I think we've seen a lot of very good horses. They're going to win a lot of very good races.
Yeah,
all in all.
Nice cop out there, Stevie. nice, easy question to finish with as well. Who will win the William
Hill? I think that was a cop out. Wait to hear the answer to this one.
Brilliant. Who will win the William Hill Air Gold Cup on Saturday?
Well, how long's a piece of string, Mark? I don't know.
What
I mean,
price is he? I can't find any better.
Obviously, well, it's hard to know because, well, it's a minefield. There's going to be 90 horses running in three similar races over 2 days. I mean, it's almost impossible.
And that's before you even find out the draw.
Yeah, exactly. And if there's any sort of bias or, you know, different jockey bookings and that sort of stuff. So, I mean, Roger Varian highlights Golden Steps, which I think is a fair one to mention. And also, Alan Swinbank says that Richard Fahey's got an awful lot of horses entered, and he's won it a few times, Richard Fahey, as well. So, I mean, if you could maybe offer betting on which trainer's going to win the Air Gold Cup, just back Richard Fahey, because, you know, you'll get a lot of darts thrown at the board in your favour.
Well, he does have a favourite, doesn't he? In the shape of Don't Touch, he was unbeaten.
Yeah, and very impressive in those green and red colours as well. Yeah. He's got another one called Beardwood as well. I'm not sure if he's entered, but he's a very lightly raced three-year-old as well in the Armstrong colours. But he's only rated about 88, and I think that might struggle to get him into the Gold Cup itself. But he's a very nice horse. He went around a little bit of cutting the ground. I saw him at Pontefract in July.
40 to 1 at the moment.
Is he?
Yeah. So he's, if he gets in.
There we go. So, yeah, I mean, 40 to 1, if he gets in or, you know, runs in one of the constellations, he's a nice horse. He might run a bit of cut in the ground as well.
Fair enough. Let's leave it up there. Unless there's anything else.
I don't think there is. Well, there is.
We've talked about a lot there, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. We've covered a whole range, a plethora of subjects, Mark.
Yes, indeed. Right, let's move on then. Tuesday's racing is next on the agenda. Stephen's got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at racing from all four domestic meetings, one race at each venue, and the 340 at Chepstow is the first race we look at. This one is a Class 4 handicap. It's over 7 furlongs for three-year-olds and older, a field of 10 here, Stephen. And who do you like in there?
The horse that I like in this race, Mark, is horse number 8, Goring, who's trained by Eve Johnson-Houghton. Edward Greatrex rides, takes £5 off the back of this horse. He won at Beverley in the first run of the season, and after that faced some pretty difficult tasks. I mean, he was only beaten 3 parts for length in the Silver Bowl at Haydock, which is a very good race behind Muto Raquez. He ran at Epsom at the Derby meeting, and he also ran at Ascot in a very valuable race, King George weekend, where he's well beaten. But he dropped in grade at Newbury last time out, and he just sort of was a bit flat at the end of that contest, but he was only beaten 5 3/4 lengths. The handicappers dropped him another pound for that as well. He's just off 79 now, which is only £2 above what he won off earlier in the season and below the mark off which he was touched off at Haydock. And I think down in grade, doesn't mind the ground, this three-year-old could maybe get back to winning ways.
Okay, main danger in there? Anything you're particularly worried about?
Well, Midnight Rider won't mind the ground, but, you know, he's not getting much younger now at the age of 7. And he's still struggling, having won 2 races with the handicap earlier on in the season. So there's one or two that you think they could be good enough to win, but there's nothing that really jumps out at me.
All right.
That is the one.
Okay. The 420 at Yarmouth next. This one is a Class 3 condition stakes over 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds and older. We're going to have a pretty short price favourite here in the shape of Music Master, I imagine, Stephen. Significant class drop here.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that is an angle that I do like, as outlined in the previous race at Chepstow. He's formed last year when he was 3rd in the Sprint Cup at Haydock. 3rd first time out this year at Newmarket in the Abernant. 4th in the Golden Jubilee. All very good form. 5 furlongs, a bit too quick for him last time, but nice straight level, 6 furlongs, decent ground as well, and should outclass these.
Okay, that's succinct. I like it. Who's going to throw it up to him, if anybody? Who's going to get closest to him?
I think Growl might run a very good race for Brian Meehan, another one who's been plying his trade in some better races and just finding it a bit much. But, I mean, 6.5 lengths behind Lamato at Ascot earlier on in the season wasn't so bad. Handicap last time, which probably wouldn't have been ideal for him, and I think back into a smaller field and an easier task, he could be the danger. But I still think he'll be somewhere behind Music Master.
Yeah, Music Master turns up on song, he's going to be very hard
indeed,
to
beat. Indeed.
All right, moving to Catterick next for their 4:30. This one is a Class 4 handicap. It's over 7 furlongs again. This one's for 3-year-olds and older. But a nice big field of 15 here, Stephen. So there must be some value in there.
Well, yeah, there's 2 cliff horses here, Mark, of mine, both running the same race. First, number 10, Cabello. I followed her from a couple of promising runs last season. She did me a good turn when she won under Sylvester de Souza at Catterick earlier on this year on quick ground. A little bit in and out then, but she's turned into a bit of a 7 furlong specialist with her best performances always coming over this trip and this track. She won under Geroid Bruder here a couple of weeks ago and won it very, very cosily indeed at 16-1 when, unfortunately, I missed her. The handicap has only put her up £5, which I think is generous. As a daughter of Azamore, who obviously got better as he got older, there's still room for improvement, I think. And back under this jockey, she's one of the ones that I like. The other one, Mezzo Tint, he ran at Newmarket a succession of weeks when obviously I was down there covering the racing at HQ, and he caught the eye more than one occasion. One time he got caught in traffic, the other time the blindfold was off slowly, then another time he just got stuffed and there was no excuse for it. Well beaten at Kempton last week, but I'm prepared to forgive him that. He ran well at Leicester with a bit of cut in the ground 2 starts ago. He's down to 75, which is not far off a career low mark. Visor for the first time, and he's shown enough at Newmarket and at Leicester this year to suggest that the ability is still there. So providing that he can, you know, take advantage of a good draw and maybe not get into too many traffic problems, I'd take those two, Mezzotint and Cabello, against the field. Cabello's also last time out winning Philly as well, which, you know, I've got a penchant for.
Oh, very nice. A couple against the field then for Stephen in the 4:30 at Catrick. And we finish off in the 6:45 at Carlisle. This one is a class 4 handicap for 3-year-olds and older, over almost 7 furlongs. It's not too far short of that. And we'll start here with Dual Max, Stephen, because there's not too much winning form in here, but he has at least gone close on his last three outings, really.
Yeah, he's been in good form, beating a length and a half, half a length and one length at Beverley, and Redcar between 7.5 and 8.5 furlongs. Obviously dropping in trip now to, 6.75 furlongs as well. And I'm just wondering if things might happen a bit quicker in the early stages, because obviously they go downhill straight from the start at Carlisle before he might run on again near the end of the contest. Mustakabel for Mark Johnson and Joe Fanning. Good winner over 7 furlongs at Musselburgh earlier on in the season. The form when he was running up at Beverley 2 starts ago is fairly decent. Disappointed at Goodwood last time out on quite soft ground. Good to firm at Carlisle, and if it stays good to firm, I think he'll have quite a decent chance off a mark of 71, because he's been dropped by the handicapper in each of his last 4 starts, including after his last effort as well on soft ground. Another one to mention as well is Chiswick Bay. 7 years of age now, and he's a veteran of 49 starts, but he likes Carlisle, he likes this trip, and he's won on good to firm and good off marks of 66 and 71. He's off 74, which is a mark he can be competitive off based on his runs at Ascot in a much, much better race on the 25th of July, and at Ponty as well over a mile, which I think stretches him 2 starts ago. And he gets on well with Sammy Joe Bell, who's ridden him to victory on his last 4 outings. So Chiswick Bay and Mustakabel in that race for me. I'd side with Chiswick Bay because I just think he's a little bit more reliable of those two.
Chiswick Bay for Stephen there. Then, as usual, let's have a quick summary if you'll spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
3:40 at Chepstow, number 8 Goring. 4:20 at Yarmouth, number 3 Music Master is going to outclass that field. The 4:30 at Catrick, Cabello and Mezzo Tint, the 2 against the field in a very tight race for me. And in the 6:45 at Carlisle, Chiswick Bay gets on well with Sammy Joe Bell and likes the course and distance.
Superb. Thank you, Stephen. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Gary Capewell, John Babb and Ollie Pimlott will be the team in the studio. Catrick, Chepstow and Yarmouth are the afternoon meetings. We've also got a Twilight card from Carlisle, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.